Hi guys, and welcome back to the Becoming Her podcast with me, your host, Victoria McHugh. I'm so excited to bring you part two of the Becoming Lauren Peters episode. That's right, you guys requested that we continue on with her story. Last episode, we went through, you know, all of the trauma that happened in her past relationships and her reinvention to where she is today, but we didn't get to finish her healing journey, what the last 5 years have looked like, and everything in between. In this part two, we answer some of your questions from social media. We go into the healing journey, trauma, triggers, how to talk to your kids about relationships breaking down. We talk about dating. We talk about different tools in co-parenting and so much more. I think you guys are going to get so much value from it, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. So, Lauren Peters, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, so good to be back.
We are so happy that you are here as well. Lauren and I got so many messages from you guys after our part one last week, asking for more. People were saying, we feel like you didn't end it, enough, and we feel like we didn't get all of the information that we wanted, and you had so many questions. And so we decided to do a bonus episode, a part two of Lauren's journey and now into sort of the healing, how she's spent the last 5 years, new relationships, co-parenting, and all of those things for you guys specifically. So how are you feeling for part two, Lauren?
So much better. I just have to say, I think the last episode, I was very reluctant and it was a very vulnerable place for me to be to share that. And I think, yeah, it's good. I feel so much more relaxed having that off my chest. It's like, I feel lighter. And yeah, like you said, there was a big time gap in between when that happened in 2019 and now, and a lot of growth and a lot that's happened. So I'm really excited to kind of dive more into that part of the journey.
Amazing. We got so many messages as well of people that have been in similar positions to you. I was actually blown away at the amount of people, you know, messaging you and me saying this happened to me, or this has happened to somebody that I know. So I really think maybe this part two is going to be so important and so valuable for everybody who is either going through it or knows someone who is as well. So just to recap on the last episode, if you haven't already heard it, please go back, listen to that first. But basically, we heard all about Lauren's reinvention from where she was, you know, years ago to where she is now. We went through a little bit about her childhood, getting married really young, having a daughter at the age of 21, then going through a divorce, becoming a single parent, building a incredible business online, then getting into a new relationship, having a beautiful boy, co-parenting, then the second baby, which at 34 weeks pregnant, Lauren was cheated on. And we went through a traumatic time with that. She, you know, had the baby. She went back into single parenting of three, and how she is now where she is. So that was a little mini recap. But what we wanted to do first was answer a couple of the most frequently asked questions that came on our Instagram stories. And the first one was, the number one asked question was, what happened to the two relationships you had after the boy's dad and today? So do you want to talk a little bit, not going into detail, about what happened to those two guys?
Yeah. I was dying at all the questions. Like, everyone just wanted the tea. You guys are just here for the tea. So I'll share a little bit. I knew it was going to come up. And I think too, I totally understand. I share a lot of my life on social media. So having two serious relationships that I did share on there, people were invested and people saw things. And you know, it appeared to be so great. And then these guys just like disappear off my social media. So bye, they're gone. We don't speak about them anymore. So I get it. Everyone's like, wait, what? Like they're trying to keep up. And I understand. So you really only get to see like a tiny glimpse of someone's life on social media. And it's like you get to see the tiniest little snippet, and people aren't obviously going to share all the stuff going on. Like they're just not, it's not what you do. So you guys saw a little bit. Out of respect for the other parties, I'm not going to go into too much detail. And I do like, I have a lot of respect for them and we're on speaking terms and it's all good. But I do think what I can share is maybe some lessons like that I learned and things that I can take complete responsibility for from that, because I learned a lot through those relationships and through what happened. So the first thing I think was that I desired so deeply to be wanted that I forgot the importance of being truly valued and appreciated. And I think there was this like inner wounded part of me that just wanted to be loved. And I think I looked past a lot of the things that I truly actually needed, whether that was time, space, healing, or in terms of kind of what I wanted in a partner. And I was, you know, I was getting a little bit of love. And so it was this like band-aid type thing, I think. So from that, you know, really take some time to get to know yourself, take some time, some real time to heal. And I think like I thought I had healed. You know, it's funny how healing's not linear. And I'll speak about this in a little bit, but things like you think you've healed and then something will come up and challenge you again and trigger you. And there'll be a whole new layer to like the healing journey that you didn't think was there. And these relationships definitely pushed me, you know, more towards figuring out, okay, what do I actually want? What am I looking for? What are my non-negotiables? And also just taking extreme ownership over the fact that, you know, I was where I was and I had to take some responsibility for the fact that I got in these relationships, you know, and that maybe they weren't actually what was best for me at the time. I think a big bit of advice from me would be just to date, like when you're at that point where you're ready to kind of get out there, like date people, get out there and really get to know what you want and you don't want. And I think it's like collecting data, right? We need some data to work with. We need, you know, we need to go on those dates and be like, oh heck no, like I'm not dating this type of person. Or like that's how you figure it out. You just don't know otherwise. So don't align yourself with someone too quickly. I think that's kind of something that I might have done, was just look past some things. And I was, you know, so in love really, that I was like looking past a lot of the really crucial things that ended up being, you know, maybe things I could have avoided. And I think two things can be true at once. Someone can be unequipped to hold space for you and someone can also deeply love you. And I think that maybe those relationships were like two things were true at once, you know, there was so much good, but at the same time they weren't able to hold space for me. You know, love is not enough. I think the people that you bring into your life need to match your standards. You need to make sure you're aligning with someone who's got the same values with you and is on the same page, like how you handle your money, work ethic, how you treat other people.
Yes.
I just think stay in that dating phase with them for a little bit longer, because you really don't get to know someone. You don't know someone early on, you know, in the first 6 months. You can be someone else if you want to. Really just allow some time to really get to see who that person is and how they handle life. And I think trust that whatever's meant for you like won't pass you by. And that, you know, I think like sometimes we want to hold on to things and we want to have ownership and attachment over people. But I think you've got to trust that the universe has a bigger plan and that what is meant for you will stick and will stay and it will feel right and it will be safe. And those relationships just weren't that at the time. And whether it was a timing thing and, you know, me not being healed as well, like I think I was longing for these connections and wanting like to be deeply loved, but at the same time, I wasn't open to receiving that deep connection because I was unhealed. Like I was afraid. I had insecurities. I was, you know, not even open to receiving that masculine energy that I needed because I was so in my masculine myself, you know? And I think that just takes, it just took me some time to figure out where I was at, what I actually needed. I made some mistakes. I avoided conflict. I avoided speaking up for myself and putting my foot down when things weren't how they should have been and I wasn't getting treated the way I should have. And I think at the end that's just never going to work, is it? It's not. So yeah, nothing against them. I wish them all the best and we're on speaking terms. It's great. I actually called one of them yesterday and was like, I want to know what you think about what our relationship was like, because I was really like, I wanted his perspective on it. And it was really nice actually, just to quickly chat about that and kind of reflect and both kind of come to the same conclusions that there was shortcomings on both ends. So yeah, I think I'll leave it there without going into any detail. Like there's so much that I can take personal responsibility from and so much that I've learned through, yeah, all of that.
I mean, you said so many things in there that we could go into a million conversations about. I think every single person who's come out of a traumatic relationship has been in a position where the first person that comes along and gives them a little bit of love and a little bit of tenderness becomes like an attachment for them. And I can completely understand that. I mean, you were so broken and so alone and just so overwhelmed that the first person that walked into your life that wanted to give you help or wanted to support you, I can understand why immediately you just needed to almost put a band-aid over that healing process with everything you had going on. So I think every single person listening can relate to that. And I think it was, yeah.
Sorry, I was cut you off. I think too, like my self-worth was so low.
Yeah.
And so I was willing to accept so much less than what I actually deserve. And, you know, I was giving so much love and, you know, not necessarily that being reciprocated in the way that I needed, but it was like this fear of, I do remember like when Finn was a baby, just thinking like, who's going to want to date a single mom of three kids? Like I got a baby, like the other one's a baby, like it's a shit show over here. Like who's going to want me? And like, that was my mindset back then. And that now like is so different. Like I think people are so lucky to be in my life. Like I bring so much to the table and it's that, that growth, that shift. And yeah, if you have those thoughts of like, who's going to want me? Right now, because I know like in my DMs there was so many women who is either have gone through it or is going through it or something very, very similar to me. And it firstly like touched me so much that you guys opened up and were so vulnerable with me about it. It was just so beautiful to read everything and connect with you guys and just have that moment. I'm just so grateful for the time everyone took to share that feedback as well. But if you are one of those people and you are just having those thoughts, like that is the number one red flag right now for you to just not even like, don't even think about that. It's not that you should not be out dating if that's your mindset. So, and that's just coming from personal experience. Like, it's not going to work.
Before we wrap up this part and get into, you know, what we really wanted to talk about, do you think that, you know, obviously you're saying date around a little bit. And, you know, for me, obviously in my situation, I'm 4 months post breakup and I'm still not in a place where I feel like I want to let anybody in and I want to spend time dating. I'm so happy alone. I'm so happy doing my thing. It's just, I'm not ready. But do you think because of your situation and the fact that you have three kids, like you don't necessarily have the ability to go dating around, you know, do you feel like that? Or at the time, did you feel like that? Because I can imagine that your situation with three kids on your own is very different to me, where sure, I could go on the apps and I could go to dinner with a different person every single night and have zero attachment and try and find the right person. But for you, you know, you meet somebody that says, I'm okay to date you with three kids, and you're like, okay, found someone, you know, let them into my life. Do you think that that played into it at all? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening are in your position as opposed to mine.
100%. I mean, first and foremost, it's very hard to date when you have children like 95% of the time in your care. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's so hard. There's no rule book for like, do this and do that, and this is right and this is wrong, and they're ready and they're not ready. And, you know, like it's this, you have to walk a fine line and really just figure it out as you go. I definitely think that, I mean, I should have just like relaxed a little bit and like just taken my time to figure out what I want and need. And I mean, back then I would have said, I know what I want, you know, but like I definitely wasn't clear enough. And that I think is just a self-worth thing too. But yeah, it's hard. And it's hard because to really get to know someone, you have to spend like a substantial amount of time with them. And that is very hard to do when you also are a solo parent and you have kids in your custody like most of the time. It's just you can't. So it's very hard not to introduce people to your children as well, because a part of you is kind of like, well, this is my life. Like you can't just have me and not have the shit show that comes with it. And you kind of want to see how they go, you know, with the kids and the family at some point too. So it's hard. Like I don't know how much advice I have from that, because I don't even think like yeah. it's just hard, and every situation is so different. I did have a bit of flexibility with like the fact that the kids did see their dad, and my mom helps out a lot. Like she was there to help and watch the kids, so I could have some kid free time or do it, you know, when the kids went to bed and stuff. But yeah, I think like if you can just take things slow and just don't align too quickly with someone, like really sit back and think like, is this 100% what I want? Like, is any of these things that are coming up right now going to be deal breakers for me? Because there's obviously no one's perfect, and there's certain elements that you're like, meh, I could look past that. That's not a deal breaker for me. But you need to kind of know what your deal breakers are and be very clear on that, so that when someone does do a deal breaker or present something, you can just go, cool, that's not for me, and be okay with being like, I deserve better, and walk away.
Yeah. So when you said, you know, anyone that has you in their life is so lucky, I just want to echo that, because you are incredible. And I feel so lucky to have you in my life. And I'm just so proud of you. And I say that every single time I talk to you. It's probably annoying, but you really, really are. And so let's finish up on this. One question I want to ask you, and you don't know I'm going to ask you this right now. We have not prepared, but I think it's important. Do you regret introducing these guys to the kids as quickly? Sort of becoming a family with them?
Yeah. I think, look, I don't think it's a matter of like introducing the kids to them or not, because I think both the relationships I was in were like over a year. Like both of them were like very serious relationships. It wasn't dating and I'm, you know, bringing the kids around to, like, and they're meeting random guys. Like it absolutely was not like that. And obviously early on when they did meet them, it wasn't, you know, we weren't physically in front of them. We of like, course. It was very much like just a male friend, which is, I think, really healthy as well, to have male friends in your life and for my kids to be around male friends. I love that my boys get to know other males in my life and can look up to people from a, you know, from a, just a good male figure around them. And I think both the men that I dated, like they were so great with the kids. There was mm-hmm. not one part of me that ever felt like the kids were in danger or that they were not getting love. Like they were so loved and so like the kids really enjoyed it completely. I think definitely I would have changed if I could go back. I would not just like rush like the amount of time we spent together. So like if you're really liking someone, it's still really important to have time to yourself, time just for your kids, like time and space just so you're not losing yourself too much. And I think that's one thing I would definitely go back and change. It's just like maybe not, you know, meshing everything so quickly, because you lose yourself a little bit and you kind of it's all a bit blurry and it's a big whirlwind of just, you know, beautiful memories and emotions, but it's like you still have to stay strong to who you are. You still have to be you and have things for you. And I think in the past, I definitely like have gone wrong there for sure.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for being so honest about it, because I know you didn't know I was going to ask that. But I just think it's really important because people are looking at you right now,
yeah,
whether they're in your position or not, to think, well, how soon is too soon? How do I know if it's right? Is this going to benefit them? Is it going to not benefit them? And I think, you know, your Mackenzie's relationship with them is different to the boys, you know, and I think that that is really important. So let's finish up the Q&A on that, and let's get into the most important thing. So let's talk about the healing journey that you went on post the relationship with the boy's dad. Because I think that healing is the most daunting and scary part of breaking up with someone, but at the same time, it's the most crucial, it's the most beautiful, and it's the most important. And I think sometimes when people break up, especially in a traumatic situation like you, they don't want to face the healing. And all that does, as you know, is prolong everything into the next relationship. It's going to manifest itself somewhere else and it's going to come up again. So I would love to know, what did the healing journey look like to you? Like start to finish, from what you did physically, mentally, just everything. And it's going to be a really long question and then we'll break it down.
Yeah. Yes. There's lots of questions on this, like how I picked myself up, what specifically did I do to heal? And I think, you know, the first thing I want to say is that it's not a quick process, especially if it's like quite a traumatic, you know, you really were invested with someone, you know, your emotions, you're hurt, or you experience a lot of like turbulence and it's not a clean kind of breakup. Like it's going to take some time. And I didn't have a time frame on like that journey. Initially, probably I didn't recognize how much healing I had to do. And there was moments where I thought that I was all good, like that I had got through it. So I think it's uncomfortable. It's exhausting. It's like so draining when you're feeling all the feels and you're in your head. It's pulling back layers. It's like you think you've got somewhere and then something else comes up and you're like, oh my God, this is a whole new layer I didn't even know was there. Like, and I'm still going through that. It's like, I look at it like a video game. Like life's kind of like a video game and you've got to, like, you get to the next level and you overcome this next thing and then something else happens. It's like, okay, we're going to the next level now. And you know, each time you get better at it. But I think healing's learning more about yourself first and foremost. It's understanding your thought patterns and your habits, your insecurities and traumas. And it's also a lot about forgiveness. So yeah, I think in 2019, when the year that it happened, there was obviously like the newborn phase and like really being very emotional and fragile, and like there was a lot going on. I'm up in the middle of the night with a newborn baby. I've got no support around me. I've got three kids. I'm literally like survival mode, just not having a meltdown every morning and getting them off to school. And in that year, 2019 was actually an incredible year for me when I look back at what I achieved and the things that I did. And I know we had a great year in 2019. Yeah. Let's take us back, please. I think I jumped into my business a lot, which had positives in the sense that I was feeling accomplished. I was gaining a lot of confidence because I was achieving amazing things in my business, I was also financially providing and taking the pressure off me and the finances, doing it all on my own. So I also kept very, very busy, which served a purpose at the time. And I think, like, I'm just so grateful that I could jump into that and get so much back from my business. But then I didn't really recognize the healing that I needed to do until I got into like my first serious relationship. And there was things that happened that broke my trust, and you know, there was stuff going on, and it really, like, I just unraveled because I was like, whoa, there's so much there happening, going on. I couldn't even like decipher my thoughts. I was in this like state of, oh my God, I'm going to get hurt. This is going to hurt. This is just, it was like really navigating. That was hard. And that was when I started taking some steps to be like, okay, I need to do some things about this and take it seriously, because I can't live like this for the rest of my life. And I also refuse to be reduced by what happened to me. Like, I want to be challenged, I want to grow through it, and I don't want to be this person. Like, this is not my story. This, like, being afraid of getting hurt and being insecure and like overthinking everything, and like, that's not me. So I did a lot of journaling. I saw a couple of different people for like Reiki and spiritual healing sessions, which I'm really open to. Like, I'm open to everything. Like, yes. You tell me it's going to do something for me, like, I'll do it.
I feel the same. I feel the same on my healing journey. I'm like, whatever you think is going to do something, I'm ready. Like, I'll pay for whatever might help me right now.
100%. Like, you want to put a crystal in my heart and make sounds of
bold. But to be fair as well, just to lighten it a little bit, I think that that's really important not to be closed when it comes to the healing journey. I think it's important to not assume or think that you have to do it in a certain way, because you don't know. You don't know. And I think if you really truly want to heal so that you can grow and be better, on the other side, you have to be open. So if anyone is listening thinking, oh, I would never do that, or I would never try that, or that's not for me, especially when it comes to things like professional help, therapy, you know, all of that, like, don't, I would say be open-minded to all kinds of different ways to heal, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think every different process teaches you something. And I think every time, you know, you pick up a different book with a different perspective, you learn something from that, you go and, you know, see a new therapist, you might learn something from that person. Like, it's not just a one size fits all. You read this book, you're going to be good, or you do your gratitude every morning and you're going to be fine. Like, it's a hard slog, especially if the trauma is there. So yeah, I saw people doing that. I also got a mental health plan. I think that was in 2020, and saw a psychologist just because I was like, I need professional help. I need all the things. And that was really nice. Just I went with like a female who specialized in issues with like family, you know, like custody and co-parenting and trauma around that. So that was nice, just having the space to really talk it out without judgment and just to try and unpack what was going on in my head. Mm-hmm. I saw a psychic as well. I think that was last year, which actually I've seen a few psychics now, which I loved. I actually got so much from those sessions, and it was incredible what insights they had and how on like spot on it was. So again, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but be open to it. Like, be like, you know what, like, it's not gonna harm you. So I allowed lots of time and space for myself to feel and be with my thoughts too. I think some people try and run away from that, you know, stay busy, always want to be around people. They're always filling their diary up with stuff to do so they don't have to be with themselves. And it's really important to do that and to actually have time and space to think, like, what am I feeling and why am I feeling that way and where is this coming from and what potentially could be triggering me, and trying to just figure that out. I did lots of things that I really loved doing, things for myself, like going to the beach, soaking up sun, gardening, like DIY, painting, traveling. Like I did things for me, which is really important, especially if you're a mom, because you have so many responsibilities and so many things pulling you in a million directions, and it's really easy to put yourself last and not give yourself time, not run yourself a bath and all the things. So I dived into lots of personal development, which I've been practicing since I started my business in 2015. So I knew I did already have a fair bit to fall back on in terms of like what I had learned and read and heard in books, but continued on that journey and really lent into things that, you know, I knew I needed. I think you got to listen to your intuition. Your intuition is so smart. She's there to guide you, and you have to listen. That was one of the things the psychic said, was like, listen to your intuition. You are not listening to yourself. Everything is screaming to do something and you were choosing not to. And I was like, this epiphany that I had of like, oh my God, I always know what to do. Why don't I do it?
Yes. Like, cannot we talk about that for 1 second? Because that was one of the biggest things that I have spoken to you about since coming out of my relationship 4 months ago, is listening to our intuition. And I think we are not connected to our bodies, and our bodies are always trying to tell us something, right? So the simplest way to say this is, if you are sick, your body is telling you, you need to rest. But what do? We keep going. We get up and we go to work and we hustle and we do all of this instead of listening to the fact that our body is saying, could you please sleep for a day? Or could you please stop scrolling on your phone for 5 minutes and give me a second to breathe and a second to reset?
Yeah.
And I know in my relationship for probably 2 years, and I've spoken about this on the podcast before, I knew I wasn't meant to be in a relationship. My body told me so many times. And I remember almost saying to my body, could you please stop telling me I shouldn't be in this relationship, because I want to stay in it, right? Mm-hmm. And we waste time and energy and resources by not listening. And I think some tips that I'll say, and you can, you know, echo this, is just switching your phone off and the TV and the music and sitting there and thinking, what am I feeling?
Mm.
What am I feeling? Because the whole gut feeling, it's literally your stomach saying, or your gut saying, hey, you're in danger. This isn't right. Don't do this, right? And how many times have we said, oh, I had a gut feeling that tonight this wasn't going to go to plan? But we just ignored it. So I think it's so important that you said that. And it's so important to find a way to connect. And most of the time it just comes from being in silence or just saying, cool, what is it that I'm feeling? What is it that my body wants right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so, like, this day and age, we're all on our phones, we're all building businesses or have some form of secondary income. We're working, hustling, like we're absorbing information. We're filling our minds with stuff. We have to make sure we slow down and allow space to really connect back 100%, whether that's, yeah, like meditation or doing something you love, like drawing or, you know, painting or gardening. That I love that because I'm doing something. I don't have to sit there and go, and like meditate. Yes. But I don't have my phone in front of me. I don't have the TV on. I'm usually like getting some form of sunlight or outside or grounding myself. And it gives me that space and time for things to come up and me to just work through it in my head. Cool. Yes. So books, podcasts, I focus a lot on my physical health, like a lot. You know, I actually would love to share a photo of how I was physically after having Finn, like very different to the body I have now. And it's taken years to get here and lots of learning and, you know, really just a commitment to being consistent and showing up for myself on a physical level. Because it directly impacts our mental health. And you know, yes, there's a part of me that loves looking good. And like, obviously we want to look good, but if we want to feel good and be confident and have that confidence. And that certainly helped somewhat build some confidence in myself. But I think the main thing was like how I felt, feeling strong, feeling accomplished, moving my body every day, like releasing those endorphins, feeling strong and sexy and healthy. And we know how much what we eat affects our gut health, and there is a direct link between our gut health and our mental health. You know, the serotonin is produced in the gut. For example, if you have leaky gut, you're going to have problems with your mental health. It's going to be fogginess, cloudiness, anxiety, depression, all those things are going to show up. So you can be doing the work, but if you're not putting yourself in a good physical environment, you're not looking after your body and drinking the water and getting sun and all the things that we know are good for us, like, you will hit a brick wall, and that will come a point in time where you're going to have to address that next step to move forward. So I've loved the journey of just loving my body and coming from a place of, I want to live longer, and I want to, you know, I want a healthy body that's going to help me be the best mom I can be. And I want to show the kids how to be healthy and how to eat good and how to show up for your body physically. And it's been amazing just finding that good place, not coming from a place of, I want to be skinny because I'm going to Hawaii in 2 weeks, or I want to fit in this dress, or I want to get revenge to, you know, I want to look hot to get revenge, but like really shifting to that next phase of like, I love my body so much, I'm going to go to the gym. Yeah. And because I want to build muscle, I want to eat more food, I want, you know, all the things. And the last tip I have for healing is finding forgiveness. So there's two parts to this. I think forgiveness for those that hurt you. So if you are dealing with, you know, betrayal or something like that, holding a grudge does not make you strong. It makes you bitter. And forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. So really coming to a place where you can completely forgive someone for their actions and remove all of the weight and everything that you're holding on to, and just wish them the best, but also forgiveness for yourself. So forgiving yourself for what you think you've done or not done. At every moment, you've had your reasons for all that you've done, all your actions and decisions. And just remember that you've always done what's best and the best you could do in that point in time. So forgiving yourself, because that was probably the hardest for me during this journey, is not being so hard on myself for the decisions that I made in that point in time, and not beating myself going like, why didn't I see that red flag? And why didn't I make that decision sooner? And why did I not do this? And like, that's not serving me at all. And so really just being like, you tried, you did your best. Like, I know I showed up in every moment my best, the best that I could at that time with what I had and what I knew, and yeah, just focus forward.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I got a little like emotional, because I think that that's probably the thing that people are going to walk away with today, is forgiving yourself, which is so much more important than forgiving someone else. And, you know, I did an exercise with someone I was doing trauma work with after my relationship, and something that she did, and you know, this could maybe help somebody listening, is she firstly said, you know, could you, if the person on the other side of the relationship was standing in front of you right now, just say what you want to say to them. Because in my case, since my relationship ended 4 months ago, we haven't spoken a word. So I've gone from living with somebody for 10 years, I've never spoken to them again. I don't know if one day we will. I don't know if maybe we never will. And so I've never said anything that I wanted to say, and he's never said anything that he wanted to say. So it was an exercise that we did that was basically like, visualize that this man's in front of you, and you say everything you want to say. So I did that. And then she said, now I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to say everything that you wish you said to yourself. Right. And obviously I'm getting emotional, mainly because I'm looking at you. Yeah. I remember just saying to myself, like, I forgive you for not saying your truth. Like, you know, like, I forgive you for staying when you shouldn't have stayed, and all of these things. Right. And I think that's the hardest part, because as women, especially, we live in shame and we live in guilt, and we think, why didn't I protect the kids? Or why didn't I see this? Or, you know, maybe it's because I, you know, didn't do this. But at the end of the day, like, we have to forgive ourselves first, because if we don't, we can never move on. And I can imagine so many people sit there with this, just this guilt and this heaviness, about how they look at themselves in the mirror when so much of it we didn't know. Like you just said, we don't know any better. And it's so easy 5 years later in your case and 4 months later in my case to sit here and say, why didn't I do that? You know, there were so many moments where you could have said this or walked away, but we were doing the very best at that point in time with what we had and what we knew, and we can't look at it with the lens that we have today.
Yeah. Yeah. So hindsight is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you brought that up, and that just triggered something in me. So, you know, I would recommend anybody, you know, look at yourself in the mirror or write it down. Like, I forgive you for this. It was not your fault that this happened.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will set you free as well. So I would love for you to talk a little bit more on the trauma of it, because I think that probably recently I've heard the word trauma be used a lot. Typically when I used to hear about trauma, it would be these huge, massive things happening in people's life, you know, a death or abuse or something happening as a child. But realistically, trauma is something that shifts us, right? Something that changes us from who we once were to who we are now. So that could be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be bullying. It could be a working issue that happened. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what that trauma looked like for you, and if there was anything different in the healing process that you had to do for the trauma side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same with you. I think growing up, the word trauma to me, I thought was like a really traumatic event. Like, yes, you witness someone getting stabbed and killed, yes, or like getting bashed as a child, you know? Yeah. And so when people used to say, oh, I had a traumatic childhood, I'm like, well, I didn't. Like, mine was fine. Yes. But when you grow up, you start to realize trauma is just an emotional response. It's how someone emotionally reacts to a situation. Trauma can look different for everyone. Something can happen to you that is so traumatic that could happen to me that is not, because it's the emotional response and how it makes someone feel. It's like it can make you feel stressed, frightened, distressed, afraid, all of those things, and it can be so different. So I don't even think I really understood I was traumatized, that I had trauma to work on initially. And it started to present, well, it started to present in the year that it happened. Obviously, like initially straight after when I was pregnant, it was just stress, tears, anxiety, like just utter brokenness. But after Finn in 2019, it was presenting in like being withdrawn, not like jumping into my work and not being able to like switch off. And I lost a lot of weight, but like not, it wasn't like a health, I was skinny, but I was like not healthy.
Yes.
I wasn't eating that great. I was eating really irregularly. I had really bad skin problems, which I'd say 100% is all linked to my gut, linked to trauma and the emotions that were in my body that I was holding on to. All of the things. So that was really when I was like, hey, okay, something's going on. I really like, I've got to address this. But the more that I look back at those two relationships and that period of time, what has it been, like 4 or 5 years now, about 4 years, 4.5 years, there was a lot of evidence there that there was trauma, and I wasn't really aware. So I thought it would be cool to talk a little bit about how it showed up in my life, because I think it might help other people go, oh, that, you know, maybe just consider that there is some stuff there for them. So for me, it was completely zoning out. Like I'd be nowhere. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be in the present moment. So often, like Kenzie would be talking to me and mom would be like, you know, your daughter's talking to her. And I'd be like, what? Like, somewhere else. It was like, I don't know, it was a coping mechanism or just this, no one was home. Avoiding eye contact. It's like avoiding deep connections with people because of the fear, a subconscious fear of being hurt, being betrayed, being abandoned.
Interesting.
Trembling. So this actually happened. For example, it happened a lot. Anytime I was triggered, I would start violently shaking, like
uncontrollably,
could not stop moving, shaking. And I'm sure other people have experienced this before. When we were in Vegas last year, a year ago, we were in a hotel room late one night, just like chatting. And we got onto the subject of like what happened, my story. And I was sharing it with some other beautiful girls from America. And I started shaking, and someone noticed and was like, "Hey, Loz, are you okay? Like, you're shaking." And emotionally, I was fine. I wasn't upset. I was telling the story. Like, we were laughing about the shit. Like, I wasn't upset or crying. Physically, though, my body was like having a traumatic response to bringing it up, or I don't know. It's so weird. It's like you can't control it. And it happened again in both the relationships when things happened and I found things out and I was really hurt. I was just straight away just hopped into bed and just shook like it was like the coldest day on earth. Seeking to be alone, going silent, like not being able to communicate your feelings completely. Just often I could not even communicate how I felt. It was just too scary, too much. I didn't even understand. Like, I felt unsafe, unsupported, unheard, shutting down emotionally, avoiding physical contact, desire to be like to move to low stimulating environments. I even social anxiety, for example, like not wanting to go out, not wanting to see people, just wanting to be on your own, which is, it has been a challenge for me also working from home over the last few years, and COVID did not help that situation. Just kind of like wanting to be at home, but hating home, like not wanting to leave, but not doing anything to leave. not breathing properly. So like shallow breathing, numbness, and like the inability to like really feel things, which has been, any of my close friends would know, this is probably the biggest fear over the last 12 months for me coming out of those two relationships, was like, have I turned into like an ice queen? Like, I don't know. Like, I was so worried that I couldn't feel anything emotionally anymore, that I'd like just completely, I was like, nah, I'm fucking done. I've hit the quota of heartbreak and this is it. I can't have a connection with anyone anymore. And I literally was like, I'm just going to be on my own forever. So dramatic, obviously.
But it's so interesting that you say that, because it's just a trauma response. It's your body saying, nope, 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 nope. And it's so funny that you said that. I was having this conversation with my friend who I just went to Bali with, because long story short, we had met some people there and we were having a great time. And she was like, oh, like, you know, are you going to text him? And I was like, no. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I feel nothing. Like, it's not about them. It's fully about me. I feel nothing. Like, I don't feel any emotion to anybody at all except myself. That's just, again, it's just trauma. It's just my body saying, you're not ready. You're not ready. Yeah. You're not ready. So I can completely relate to that.
Yeah. And then it comes back to really listening to your intuition. That's your intuition saying like, don't fucking talk to anyone. Don't get attached to anyone. Like, now is not the time. Yep. So I pretty much covered all those, like gut skin issues. Headaches was a big one. I was experiencing headaches all the time, and it was like it must have just been a stress, trauma, emotional type response. It got so bad that I started, like, all these physical symptoms, I started thinking maybe like I have breast implant illness, or I started like really researching other things, because I was like, something is going on. And it was me just not understanding that trauma can show in your physical body in so many different ways. And like, I underestimated the impacts that all of that had on me physically. So yeah, I think like identifying trauma is really the first step. And I think it's all part of the process really of healing. And you'll get to a point where, you know, you don't get headaches as much, or you can start to look people in the eye, or you start to have feelings for someone again, or you know, you can focus on tasks for longer periods of time. And that's really where I'm at now. I'm noticing like all of these things, they're falling away as I work through it, and as I, you know, as I heal.
I love it. And also, it just takes time. It really does. And you also have to want to do the work. You have to want to lean into this stuff because it's not easy. And sometimes it's really easy just to go for the quick fixes. And it's so easy to numb the feelings or drink alcohol or whatever it is, food, exercise, like you were saying, scrolling, new relationships, you know, dating. Like, it's so easy. But I think what Lauren and I are both getting to here is, if you don't do the work now, it's going to come up somewhere. And so do it now instead of prolonging it and allowing it to manifest. So there was a couple of other things I wanted to just cover with you. The first one is triggers. This is something I'm really experiencing over the last 4 months for me, is just understanding triggers, like understanding when something triggers you and then how to either move through that or how to understand that feeling. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because obviously we're going to be triggered. All of our situations are different. We can't escape it. So do you want to talk a little bit about what some of those triggers were for you and how you kind of coped with them?
Yeah. I think triggers will be different for everyone based on your trauma and what you're healing through. And identifying them is, I guess, the first step, because if you're unaware that you're being triggered, well, you can't even physically work on that yet, because you don't even have the self-awareness of what's going on and you're not in control of your emotions. So first, awareness. I think some of the triggers for me were if I didn't feel emotionally supported, or that there was like no real, like I wasn't being seen and heard and like supported in the way that I needed. And yeah, I guess being like a single mom, I'm thriving in business, I'm working, I'm growing myself, I'm going to the gym, I'm cooking the dinner and cleaning the house and managing the money. Like, when I need a little bit of emotional support, like I just want a little bit of emotional support, like that's all I'm fucking asking for. So if I'm not getting like those basic things, that is triggering for me. But I think really anything that relates back to abandonment or betrayal, lying, like me being hurt, kind of like me not being good enough in any capacity at the beginning would have triggered me.
Yes.
So things like finding messages on people's phone or people just all of a sudden like changing who they are or doing something different or little white lies, like it's not okay. And I definitely had a standard for what I wanted in a relationship. I knew what I had been through and what I was willing to accept moving forward. And so
boundaries.
Yeah. And I think like life, you are going to be triggered. You are going to be challenged. Life is not easy. And I'm going to have more challenges in my life. Like that is life, but you get better at overcoming them, you get more tools, you change your mindset of how you show up to those challenges. And I think, having the awareness. And then I think healing comes when you handle the things that once would trigger you heaps bad differently. So, I might get to a point in a relationship where something presents itself, and instead of spiraling, and it could be just overthinking, creating scenarios in my head and letting myself get to that place, I could just confront it and communicate and say, hey, this made me feel this way. Or can I just ask you what this meant, or whatever that looks like? I think when you can identify that something's that you're choosing to show up a different way and have a different perspective, that's when you go, hey, I'm on the right track here. Like I'm healing, because I didn't react to that how I normally would.
Yes, that's so important. And I just want to add something to that, because what you said is so amazing about the awareness. Like once you are aware of what's triggering you and you understand it, you can process it. It's still going to hurt. And there'll still be moments where you're like, oh, I don't like that feeling, but you can process it differently. And then as time goes on, the same thing will happen. And you'll get better at handling it.
Yeah.
And I know for me, about a month and a half ago, I was heavily triggered by something from my ex-fiance. And it took me about 2 days to get over. I did all the work. I sat in it. I felt uncomfortable. I cried, all of the things. I moved through it. And I thought, right, okay, this is what it means. This is why it's triggering me. These are some tools to work through it. And then about a week ago, the exact same thing happened. And I literally was like, okay, I know we've been here before. I know what this means. And it took me about an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, we are making progress. Like, this is another step forward on the healing journey. It took me 2 days last time. It took me an hour this time. Next time, when the same thing happens, I'm not even going to flinch about it. And that's when you know that you're over the trauma and you're over the trigger and that you've done the work, right? And that's such a powerful place to be.
So good.
So two last things I want to ask you. The relationship with the kids as time went on. I mean, obviously, 4 years ago when the huge incident happened, when you were pregnant with Finn, Mackenzie was 5 years old. So she was at an age where she knew something was wrong with her mom. And I know you spoke about that on the last episode. I'd love for you to go through what maybe some of the conversations were with her. And then as time has gone on, what have you said to the boys, if you've said anything to the boys? Because that's a really challenging thing. And there's no right or wrong way to try and be open with our kids. But one thing that I do believe from my own experience of being a child is we are smart and we do know when things are going on. And I believe, even though I'm not a parent, I believe that honesty is more important.
Yeah.
And transparency with children. So talk to me a little bit about what that looked like with Mackenzie and then with the boys. How much do they know? How did she react? And what was that relationship like?
Yeah. 100% honesty. Like, and I've always tried to lead with honesty with Mackenzie and let her know, hey, I am going to be honest with you and let you know. And as she's gotten a bit older, like she's 9 now, she thinks she knows everything. She thinks she literally knows everything. So I've had to be a little more like, okay, Kenzie, I'll let you in and I'm going to be honest with you, but I expect you to be like respectful back, because there was a period of time where she would be really silly and disrespectful and say things that she knew would hurt me. And I think it was her feeling uncomfortable, her feeling scared, or like, I can understand there's it's hard for her to see all of it, and to kind of have gone through that with me, like a few relationships. Like, it's certainly not what I wanted for her, but I'll say that to her, like, this is not what I want. Like, mummy is trying her best, and I really would love at the end of the day to find someone who can be with us, you know, as a family. And I know that that person is out there, and until that time, like, it's all good. It's us. Mom's got it. Like, it's okay. And there was always, I always just wanted to make sure she was never worried about me, and that I could show up strong for her. And I think there's two parts to teaching them. One is obviously what you say and the conversations that you have with them around reflection of the relationships, or, you know, explaining what happened. And that is hard, because there's no right or wrong. For no one tells you, hey, you can say this, but not this. This is going to give them trauma, this won't. Or, you know, it's just, you kind of got to navigate it based on your child. But the other part to that lesson for them is how they see you show up to the challenges, because mm-hmm. you have to model the behavior that you would want to see in them as an adult, and that how you want to show them, like, hey, life knocks you down, but you get back up and you keep going and you make mistakes and you try your best, and that's okay. So, you know, I think my kids have always been my reason for getting back up and continuing to move on. And I've always just felt like I want, you know, I thought, like, what are they going to say about me when they're older? What's going to be like, what are they going to say about mom? And I hope that, you know, they say, hey, mom didn't get it right all the time, but she continued to show up and she continued to lead with love. And she worked so hard for us and our family and our future. And she was so kind and compassionate. And so I've always tried to hold myself with that grace and speak kindly about other people. And so I've never disrespectfully, like, I've never spoken about anyone with disrespect. I always say, hey, we're still mates, and, you know, we'll still chat, and, like, tried to just make it, show her that it's okay. Like, it's actually okay to be in a relationship and to go, hey, this isn't working, and for it to end. It does not have to be, you know, F this person and they're horrible and they didn't treat me right. And like, I just wanted to be like, hey, it's all good. It didn't work out and we're fine. And, you know, and yeah. So it's hard. I think she's wanted to hold on to relationships with other people that have come and gone. And I can understand how that's really hard for her to just have someone love on her and then all of a sudden not be there. Mm-hmm. And how that might, you know, and who knows, maybe it will impact her a little bit down the track. But I know that I'm teaching her good lessons as well. And I'm showing up the best that I can. And I'm leading with love and honesty. And I think that's all you can do is try your best and be soft with them. And I think through all those, like those moments where people were leaving, like I just loved on the kids extra hard. And I showed them so much strength as well.
That's such great advice, Lauren. And you know, you're never going to get it right. And I'm not a parent, so I, you know, can't really speak too much on this, but I have been a child to parents. And I have watched you go through it, and you've always done it with grace. And I think at the end of the day, the kids are going to grow up and they'll take bits from everywhere, you know? And I think for Mackenzie, especially with the age that she is, you know, would she prefer to have her mom in a loveless relationship or a relationship with someone who's cheating on them and doesn't treat them right? I don't think so. Yeah. You know, and I think there are kids that grow up and I have spoken to them and they say, I wish my parents divorced. I wish they did, because I watched them hate each other, or I watched them fight all the time, or I watched them cheat because they didn't want to separate but they weren't happy. You know, is it better to stay with the wrong person for the kids, for them to then have an example of what a non-loving marriage is? I don't know. Is it better to separate and see two happy parents? Is it better for kids to see their mom not settle for the wrong person until they find the right one? You know, I think there are pros and cons of both. And so I think all you can do is lead with love and grace like you do and try your very best. And, you know, whether it's the right, you know, I just don't know if there's a right way.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there isn't. And every situation is different, you know, in like some situations you might experience some trauma in your relationship and choose to stay and work on it. And that's okay too. I think you just, you do have to consider your kids and the impact that it's having and making sure you're just showing up your best, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So to finish, the last question that was coming up a lot in the Q&A that we did on our Instagrams was just some co-parenting tips. I know we touched a little bit on it last episode, but I think that that would be important for you to cover. Yeah. Just a little bit more detail in maybe how you co-parent and some tools or tips on how to make that work. I think that'd be really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. There was quite a lot of people in my DMs as well asking me about co-parenting, but it's very hard. Like, I don't think I can give advice, like specific advice on what you should do in that situation, because I'm very well aware that my situation probably isn't even as hectic as some other people's that I've heard. Like some of the messages that I got, I'm like, oh my God, girl, like this is not cool. So I'm not the one to give advice, but I can say a couple of things that have definitely helped me and made the process a little bit easier. One of my biggest tips with co-parenting would be to remove all expectations that you have placed on the other party to be, do, say a certain thing, right? They don't owe you anything anymore. And all you can do is control how you show up to that co-parenting relationship, how you treat them, how you speak about them, how you look after your children. And unfortunately, there are, you know, situations where they're not going to do the same. They're not going to reciprocate. They're not going to be whatever you're doing. But I think you need to continue to hold your head high and hope that at some point they heal enough to show up the same way in the relationship, in the co-parenting relationship. So don't react. If something has triggered you or you're having a conversation about something that, you know, is a lot, whether that's custody agreements or, you know, things like, if you are being triggered or you're very emotional, just sit on it. You don't have to respond straight away. Maybe take some time and then get someone to look over a response before you do that. Because it's very easy to snap. And I've been there too. Like, I have a very short fuse when it comes to the voice dad. And like, I just feel like,
understandably, I'm, darling, yes. I have a short fuse when it comes to you.
I'm trying to get better, and I'm also trying to like communicate with him like how things make me feel, or just be like, I don't know, because I'm very short and annoyed, and like as soon as he disrespects me at all, I'm like, nah. So it's a, you know, I'm not perfect either, but I think I've definitely learned just not to respond in the moment, sit on it, assess how you feel. Often you will respond in a completely different way if you sleep on it.
Yeah, like emotionally regulate.
Yeah, like actually go, okay, I'll remove that disrespectful thing he said. What's left there?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about the custody percentage and blah, blah, blah. I'll address that. Don't even reply to the other stuff. Like,
yeah, great advice.
Be above it. I think too, like, try to avoid communicating in a way that doesn't work. So what I mean by that is, for a while there, we would text, and I just took everything the wrong way, and he probably did too. It was just like complete misunderstanding, because you just both emotional, fired up, triggered, whatever's going on, and it is avoidable if you can communicate a little bit better. So yeah, there were certain times where we said, hey, let's not text about it. If we want to talk about it, we can call and talk to each other, because I'd find we would both speak to each other a certain way in the text messages, but when we called each other and spoke on the phone, like, we weren't disrespectful. We were
that's world-class advice right there, really, in anything, not even just in co-parenting, but in business relationships, friendships. Like, texting ain't it. It's just not the best way to communicate, especially because sometimes people are on the run and they say, okay. And then the other person's like, oh, they just said, okay. Are they mad at me? Or they were being blunt. And it's like, no, I'm sitting at a red traffic light, which went green. And I think that that's world-class advice. Find a way to communicate with the other person that works for both of you. Amazing.
Yeah. And talk about that to each other too. So for example, like, say like, hey, what's the best way to communicate with you? Or what's the best time to talk to you about this kind of stuff? Like, texting them your demands on a co-parenting agreement ain't going to work when they're stressed at work and you sent them a text while they're working. Like, so just figure out what the best way to communicate and talk about, like, hey, what's going to work? How can we kind of, you know, so the other tip I had with that is, don't make any like formal legal agreements over the phone. So if you are going to agree to, let's say, okay, you're going to have them every second weekend or something, make sure you're getting it at least in writing. The next step would be to go and create a parenting plan, which I don't believe is like a full legal document. Again, I'm probably not the best person to give advice on about this, but it is a document that you both sign, and you can lodge it, I believe, with your lawyer, pay a bit of money and create kind of a legal, like, we're both agreeing to this. And I just think having it in writing is really good. So we did one up. Boy Sad did it up. And yeah, we agreed to things like Christmases and birthdays and Mother's Days and like how that's going to look. And really just tried to hash it out, so it was really fair. Always make decisions based on what's best for the kids. So everything needs to be about what is actually best for them, not what is about like best for you or what you want or what's going to work in with your life, but really just bringing it back to the kids. And another one that I think really works for us is we will usually call each other the day that we swap. So we swap through school and daycare, which means we don't have to see each other, which is lovely. So often we won't even see each other, which is good. Works for us. I don't have to see him. I don't have to see his face. So we do sometimes still like swap, you know, like there'll be changes, but we call each other and we just say, hey, this is what's been going on with the kids this week. This is their behavior. I'm finding this with, for example, like Bodhi, our little Bobo at the moment, he's like, he's just so sensitive and he started school. And so we've been talking lots about like, what do you reckon? This is working. This is the strategy I'm using so that he's not getting upset before school. We also identified that Bodhi really struggles with change. Like, he likes to know what's going on. He likes to have his head across, like around it all, and things not to be sprung on him last minute. And so we developed some strategies to handle that. And we also said, hey, let's write down our routines at home from the moment they walk in the door after school till bed. And let's get on the same page and do it exactly the same. Because I found that if he was getting asked to do one thing at his father's house and then a different way at mine, it's just, it's one more thing he has to think about and process. So we identified that we were actually doing majority of the stuff the same. It was like, get in the front door, put your bag away, put your lunchbox away, get undressed, put your school clothes away, you know, like your basic things, brush your teeth, read a book. So we made sure that that was completely the same and the expectations were the same in the morning. Put your pajamas under the pillow, make the bed. So it wasn't this big change. And I think if you can reduce the disruption between the two houses as much as you can, it'll help. My kids probably, like, because they were so little, they're very used to it. It's very, very used to it now. But yeah, those are some tips. I think just, it's a give and take. Mackenzie's dad and I'm so proud of the relationship, the co-parenting relationship we have now. Like, it's so good. And it's because I think we're both willing to give and take at different points. Like, sometimes he'll say, hey, I've got this and I'm going away. Can you have her an extra night? Or can I have her this night because we're getting married or whatever it is? And I'm like, cool. Yep. Like, it does not bother me because I expect that back. Like, I will get that back. I receive that back from him. There's never a pushback about silly things. It's always about Mackenzie. It's just, and we want to see each other happy, and we want Kenzie to have a happy household at both houses. And for us to be able to have that good relationship just requires respect, communication, understanding, all the things. So those are my tips. Before we finish, I actually have two things that I didn't say that I really wanted to say quickly.
Go for it.
So just back to like the healing, because I know I just felt like so many people were going through hard times, like in my DMs. It was really moving for you guys to open up and talk about it. But I want to share two things with you that I think have really helped me. And it comes down to your mindset. So the struggle you're in today is developing the strength you need for tomorrow. And what I mean by that is, like, adversity is necessary. And when we look at life differently, when we go, hey, these challenges are going to come.
Yes.
It's not about, oh, this is happening to me, blah, 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 blah. It's happening for you. And it's an incredible opportunity to grow and to learn and to overcome these challenges. And each time you do that, you become better at it. So the next time something equivalent happens, it's not so hard. It's a bit easier. Like you said, like, you get triggered, you handle it, you move through it. It becomes easier the next time. So yeah, just, I don't know, welcome the challenges. Like, you don't grow when life's easy. And I'm sorry to say, like, life's not always going to be easy. And I know, like, my story's sad and it's been hard and all the things, but there's also people that have gone through so much worse than me that are so much worse off and haven't had the support around them or the guidance or, you know, had the ability to financially provide. There's just so many situations where it could be worse. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the challenges. I wouldn't change a thing. And the other thing I want to share is this quote by Muhammad Ali. It isn't the mountains ahead that weigh you down. It's the pebble in your shoe. So, you know, how I think about this is, like, it's not what happens to us, but how we choose to show up to the challenge and how we overcome them and use those challenges to our advantage. And I think, like I said, like, life's a video game. Like, see how many levels you can go in the video game. Like, how high can you get? How much can you grow and learn and expand? And I think just open, welcome them. Look at them differently and just know that that pebble in your shoe, you can take out at any point in time. You can take it out of your shoe and keep going and grow and learn. So that's all I want to share. Anyone who's in that position just going, shit, you know, it's hard, life's hard, and I've been there. But it also can be amazing if you just choose to level up and grow.
I love it, Lauren. I think that was a perfect way to end our part two. And I'm so glad that we did this, because I really, really think that everything that you've shared today and every tip and advice and tool is just going to be so, so valuable. And people will come back to this episode and be like, what was it that she said about co-parenting? Or what was it that she said about the trauma work? And I'm so proud of you, as always. You are just so exceptional. And I just want to thank everybody for the support that you've given both of us as well, because that's what this podcast was about. It was about becoming her and reinventing yourself and stepping up to the challenge and leveling up to that next level of yourself and hearing these stories of how people have overcome everything in life. So if you like this episode, please share it. Please, you know, send it to somebody who you think would absolutely love to hear it or is going through something similar. And Lauren, I think that we missed the most important question of all of the DMs. So we're going to end on the most important question. It's a yes, a no, or a no comment answer. Are you dating anybody right now?
Yes, I am dating, which is, it's exciting. I'm very excited for the future. And I think, yeah, this new person is so lovely, and it's actually been very healing finding someone who just has created so much space for me to be me. And I don't know, it's reminded me that I am enough, showing up exactly how I am with all of the trauma and issues that I've got, you know, and I'm excited. So I know you've met him. You think he's great.
I think he's great. He is the first one that I have truly loved and thought was great and thought was enough for you and your family. And I am very, very happy for you. So guys, I wanted to end it on that. If you are in the pit at the moment thinking that you will never find somebody, please, please take this as hope and inspiration that there is somebody out there worth waiting for and the right person will come along. I'm so happy for you. I love you. Thank you for doing part two, and I will chat to you later.
Love you.